All right, so Toby is here.
Welcome back, Andrew.
Yeah, how was your fall break?
Too short, too short. The usual kind of thing.
Yeah, mine was too short too, though it was really great. It was really fun.
Oh, you had a birthday.
Yeah, it was my birthday.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 31 years old. Yeah?
No! Shut the front door.
Yeah.
You are shockingly young.
Oh yeah? I wouldn't think of myself that way. But I guess I like that.
You're like a
I
wunderkind.
think that I'm like, now that I'm not 30, but I'm 31, I'm in my 30s, you
Yeah,
know?
that's mature.
Yeah, well, it should be anyway. So listen, you are coming into my office. By the way, our listeners should know that the office of the office hours, or the office hour, is my office. Not that it matters or anything,
That's
but I,
important. Our listeners want to know this kind of
yeah, we'll
information.
trickle in a little, as our fan base
Yeah,
grows.
little
It's
Easter
little Easter eggs. So
eggs.
you're coming in after I just had a chat with Owen Cantrell, who is our guest on this episode of The Office Hour.
But our listeners will experience time in reverse as if we are speaking now before you interviewed him.
Right, exactly, because chronologically, this is happening before. Yeah, so there's a weird kind of, we totally messed up the time-space continuum.
I'm all
The
about that.
time-space continuum. Also, I was just about to say a bad word, which reminds me that we should do a little bit of a disclaimer about this episode, because it does feature some foul language. So
Oh, shit.
yeah, so there you go. So I mean,
And so did you do an introduction in the interview, or should we talk a little bit about Dr. Owen
I
Cantrell
think
now?
I did a sufficient enough introduction of the interview that we don't need to do that again.
I did a shallow internet dive on this guy, and he sounds great.
He's pretty great. I think we should have him back on the show again soon. Maybe hopefully the three of us can get together. Yeah.
Dare to dream.
Yeah. Well, all right, listeners. Why don't you give this episode a listen, and we will say goodbye to Toby until next week's episode.
Ciao.
I'm Andrew Marzoni.
I'm Toby Wilson Bates.
And this is The
The
Office
Office Hour.
Hour. Today, on today's podcast, we have a very special guest, Owen Cantrell. Owen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
We have lots of exciting things to talk about today. This is going to be a kind of interesting follow-up to Toby's last podcast about fatherhood. An academic fatherhood. We're going to talk about a different kind of fatherhood today. Owen approached Toby and I about coming on the podcast because he has this theory about fathers in primarily films from the 1990s.
Yeah, I'd say like mid 1990s, early 2000s, that early 2000 era was kind of like 90s movies still.
Right. So this is your 90s Dick Dad theory.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your theory?
All right, so I originally this theory came from a friend of mine and I talking about 90s movies and just, feeling generally nostalgic for 90s movies. And basically we discovered that a lot of 90s movies follow a similar plot, especially anything involving fathers. So we called it the 90s Dick Dad movies. So movies like Mrs. Doubtfire, Liar Liar, Jingle All the Way, Jack Frost, and basically the whole, I guess, narrative structure of them is there's some sort of father, and he's just like a dick to his kids and to his wife. He doesn't really respect them or talk to them. He has like a giant 90s cell phone he's on all the time. In Hook especially, Robin Hood has a giant cell phone. And so he basically has to learn, go from being a dick to being a dad over the course of the movie. So there's some sort of like magical transformation that might happen. He becomes a snowman in Jack Frost or something, or he can't lie in Liar Liar. But basically, these 90s dick dad movies, they're just like all over the place. That was kind of, I guess, the theory of like just all these 90s dick dad movies. We haven't really figured out some way to contextualize it of why 90s dick dads are like such a thing. Because it's definitely different from like a 2000 dad a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, this is what I'm interested in trying to figure out is like, why is this a thing, do you think, that is historically located in the 1990s?
I'm not sure. It does seem like they're all sort of workaholic fathers. So maybe it's that sort of first pushback against, like, men should be involved with raising their children.
Okay.
Like that. Because, I mean, that's usually the big thing is, you know, Liar Liar, Jim Carrey's character just misses his son's birthday so he can have sex with a woman who might help him get a promotion, right?
Right.
And or like Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire, he's kind of neglectful of his kids, but he's just sort of like, he just doesn't understand how children work, so he's like having, you know, llamas invited to birthday parties and stuff like that. So yeah, it seems like there's this weird where like fathers need to somehow become more dad-like in like actually be interacting with their kids and not just like sitting there drinking a scotch on like the couch or something. I mean, we can talk about this later, but it definitely is, there's like a weird, it feels, it's like one of those things where it feels progressive, but it's really, you know, like the dick dad is always like, he's like not the good parent, right? Like he's the bad parent, but somehow he's like the desirable parent.
Right. I mean, they're all ultimately the hero.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Who out of these examples, like I said, there are many of them. Who do you think is like the worst? Who's like the worst father?
Oh God, they're all pretty bad. I kind of feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Jingle All the Way is really bad because, I mean, so basically he's trying to get this like toy for his kid, right?
Uh huh.
And that's his whole mission. He thinks that'll like save, you know, earn his kid's love or something. But then he becomes sort of the superhero, so it's weird, like Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming the superhero because he dresses up in the costume at the end of the movie,
right?
But yeah, he just seems like he's just not that into the kids, right? Like Robin Williams seems like he's a good dad when he's around and he's like acting like a normal person, or Jim Carrey in Liar Liar, he seems like he's attentive to the kid when he's there and he's paying attention. But Arnold Schwarzenegger just seems like he doesn't care about. You're just like, why did these kids... I don't know, like, there's not that many movies where Arnold is a kid, has a kids, right? Like, where it's like he's interacting with them?
Well, I'm thinking my all-time... One of my favorite movies ever, strangely enough, is Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
And this is sort of off-topic, but my favorite part about Kindergarten Cop is that there's this shot in... early in the film... of this character that hasn't been introduced yet, which turns out to be kind of like the deadbeat ex-husband who's like a criminal of the romantic lead. And what is amazing to me about this shot is it's this just shot of this man, this villain. We don't know that he's a villain yet, but he's like walking across like a sort of city square, like by a fountain or something like that.
Okay.
And my theory is that the only thing that distinguishes him as being like a villain is that he has this black ponytail.
Yeah, yeah.
And like just the fact that we have no knowledge of who this guy is, but the fact that he's like a man with like a black ponytail is enough to establish him as the villain of the movie. I don't know, but this is off topic, but I've always found that gesture to be very interesting.
Yeah, and I think Kindergarten Cop, I have Kindergarten Cop as a subset of the dick dude.
Okay.
Right, where it's like, there's like guys who have to, it's sometimes fatherhood, like Knocked Up, right? Like it's a dick dude movie.
Uh-huh.
Or like, even like Mighty Ducks or something like that.
Right.
Emilio Estevez, where, like, they're just, like, sort of terrible people in some way. Because, I mean, in Arnold Schwarzenegger Kindergarten Cop, he's, like, not before he becomes a kindergarten teacher. He's not, like, the greatest guy, right? He's, like, really harsh and unforgiving.
Uh-huh.
He's 5 o'clock shadow, so, you know, he doesn't, like, give a shit.
And his name is Detective John Campbell, but he has... He has, an inexplicable Austrian accent. That's another thing, just in terms of, like, verisimilitude. I don't understand about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Yeah.
I think the Duke Dude is, like, a clear subset, because these are, like, kind of, like, surrogate fathers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, Emilio Estevez in Mighty Ducks is, like, kind of, like, reluctance to adopt this clear role that he has as a surrogate father.
Yeah.
That's a similar thing. I guess he doesn't have the demands placed upon him that an actual father does, but it's definitely a similar thing.
Stop whining. Your kids are soft. You lack discipline. Well, I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me. You're not gonna have your mommy slam behind you anymore and wipe your little douches. Oh no, it's time now to turn this mush into muscles. No more complaining, no more Mr. Kimble have to go to the bathroom, nothing. There is no bathroom!
So I think we can agree that this, like, trope has sort of, like, died out a little bit in recent years.
Yeah, you don't see as many... I mean, if somebody is, like, not portrayed as not a good father in, like, a comedic sense, it seems like it's, you know, the burden is on him to be better, and it's just, like, presumed. It doesn't have to undergo some transformation, I guess.
Do you think that's because, like, movie viewers are less forgiving of that kind of character or that kind of behavior?
Yeah, and I think, like you were saying earlier, that these are all, like, big comedic actors. Like, I'm trying to think if there'd be anybody who would be able to be in a movie and sort of be this character today, you know? Like, it seems like their star power has a lot to do with how much we're willing to take from them. Like, all right, well, maybe Robin Williams is going to be a dick for a little while, but eventually we know he's going to be good because he's Robin Williams.
Well, and I wonder, too, if these are instances in which actors are kind of using the Dick Dad as a platform to reinvent themselves in terms of their Hollywood personas, right? Like in Jingle All the Way or even Kindergarten Cop, you have Schwarzenegger, who's this action star acting in a kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Like somehow the Dick Dad character is able to soften him or humanize him in a way. Or even Mrs. Doubtfire or Hook are still comedies, but they're not... I mean, maybe Mrs. Doubtfire is an exception, but there's a certain kind of, like, family aspect of it. You know, like, these seem like in various attempts to kind of, like, humanize the actors to make them kind of more like mainstream leading men and less comedians or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like it's a way to, I mean, because, like, Kindergarten Cop, I mean, that Schwarzenegger had that whole era of, like, Kindergarten Cop and Juniors and or Junior and then Twins,
right? Yes,
like, this might bring us on a tangent, but my dissertation director actually has this theory about Arnold Schwarzenegger is always, like, a maternal figure.
Oh, yeah?
He's, like, the maternal body. And, he's not a sexy guy, right? Like, he's in Conan, and he's, like, you know, ripped or whatever. But he's always, like, Kindergarten Cop, he's just, like, and he literally has a child in Junior, right? Like,
right.
So it does seem... so it does seem like there's some way that softens them and brings them into, like, a... Or, like, Robin Williams, he has this sort of, like, manic energy in all of his movies, but then the sort of Dick Dad movies, it's, like, contained. Like, Mrs. Doubtfire, it's like, all right, well, we gotta wait for Robin his, like, 5 minutes of impressions in the bathtub. But, like, the rest of the movie, he's just gonna be, like, somewhat normal. Like, it I don't know, brings them into the fold of some sort.
Maybe, and this is kind of crazy, But maybe the, like, 90s Dick Dad thing is this kind of, like, Hollywood meta-commentary.
Okay.
In which we see these comedic, or in the case of Schwarzenegger, like, action stars becoming domesticated in a way.
Yeah,
it's almost like they have to, fail in this role as a father in order to convincingly become the kind of actor who can play a father.
Yeah. That they, you know, like Schwarzenegger was in some movie not that long ago where he's like a father and his daughter became a zombie. I don't know if he's, I don't remember the name of the movie.
No, I didn't see that.
It was apparently pretty good, but and he was like actually like relatively as convincing as he can be as an actor. But yeah, it makes sense that now, you know, now it'd be like, well, Arnold can play a father. He's done it before, or, you know. Yeah, that I think that makes sense. I guess that's a stage in an actor's like life, you know.
Yeah.
A comedian or a action hero or something, they eventually can become, you know, some sort of father role.
Right. And it's almost like, you know, in addition to maybe being this like Hollywood meta commentary, it could be this symbol of like the baby boomer generation kind of like adopting their role like, you know, as fathers, as like middle-aged squares. I mean, there certainly is a kind of irony in the fact, or an appropriateness, or I don't know, whatever you think. The fact that ultimately, like, Schwarzenegger did prove to be like a dick dad.
Yeah.
You know, like in his like actual real life.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there are any other cases of that. I mean, I'm sure. Who knows? We're talking about actors after all. Are there any instances of the dick dad that you see kind of popping up in contemporary movies or TV shows at all?
Yeah, so my friend and I who sort of birthed this theory, I guess, we were thinking of the show Louis.
Uh-huh.
So in Louis, like, he's definitely a dick and he's a dad, but it doesn't seem like he ever, he's always just sort of both, right? Like, there's
right.
the famous thing from his comedy, and I think they do in the show too, where he like flicks off his daughter behind her back, right, when she's just, like, uh-huh. just being awful. So it seems like he's sort of both. So we you know, we were sort of having this idea of like he's both a dick and a dad. So it's called it the suspension of the dickalectic, right? Which is like he can be both dick and dad, and for some reason he doesn't ever have to do both,
right?
Or he doesn't have to become one or the other. So maybe that's like a different way that we think of comedians now. It might be just be Louis having control of the means of production, right? Where he just can like.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like there is like the demand for redemption.
Yeah.
Right? Like in Louis, it's kind of like, oh, you know, like it's okay to be a dick dad because like all people are dicks.
Yeah.
And like that's just, there's like a kind of fundamental like dickishness to like being human.
Yeah.
To what extent do you think that these films are apologizing for kind of like male incompetence in parenting? Or even more generally at like adulthood?
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, none of the guys, you know, Robin Williams or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jim Carrey, all of them are like very childlike or have childlike moments where they're just like, not just don't have their shit together at all.
Right.
Whereas like Sally Field's character or Maura Tierney and Liar Liar, they very much do. And you know, it's like, oh well, you know, I guess you'll do your thing, and as long as you come back at the end of the day and kind of try to be a dad sometimes. And yeah, it does seem like it's apologizing for just how bad they are, but just being like, oh, I guess so.
Right. They're ultimately forgiven by their children, by their wives, by Hollywood, by America. Have you thought about writing anything, expounding on these ideas and writing further?
Yeah, I've thought about it, but I feel like I keep going on pop culture excursions that take me away from my primary areas. So eventually, I think I want to write something about it.
Do you have any new pop culture excursions that you've departed on recently?
Oh, no, not really. I have this idea that's not super pop culture, but this idea about like bureaucracy and Kafka and Walt and David Foster Wallace kind of using The Pale King.
Oh yeah.
But like, I'm not sure where to go with that, and I feel like I'm just trying to consciously avoid that idea because I'm like, I can't do this now.
Look, I mean, that's fascinating. You should come back sometime. Yeah. We should develop this idea further.
Okay, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Office Hour is produced by Andrew Marzoni and Tobias Wilson Bates, Britton Fellows in the Writing and Communication Program at the Georgia Institute of Technology. To find out more about the topics discussed, see our page at textile.lmc.gatech.edu. Thanks for listening.